Smyrna or Pergamos, which church would you like to be a member of? I would like to be a member of Ephesus myself. Ephesus. I think it's more like our church here. Anybody else have any preference? Anyone you would like not to be a member of? Smyrna? I wouldn't like to be. Or Pergamos? I wouldn't like to be a member of Thyatira myself. It sounds pretty bad as well. Amen. All right. Revelation 2, verse 18. And let's read down to verses 24. I believe we can go down there. Here we go. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now notice as well, this one is the longest description of all the churches we've read so far, because it doesn't stop there. Notice what it goes on to say down there in verse 24. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, these are the ones that are standing, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. He said, I'm not going to put on to you anything else other than what you have already seen. You had to suffer with this woman, Jezebel. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So very, very strong condemnation given to this church and for the things that they're allowing to go on there, even more severe than Pergamos, which we've already studied. Father, bless now these next few moments. Lord, help us to glean a blessing from your word. And Lord, help us to understand a little bit more about this church and this age and this type of Christian. And Lord, help us to be those that will be the overcomers, as he said in the scriptures, to them that overcome. Lord, help us to be those overcomers. And Lord, help us to stand for that which is pleasing in thy sight. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you've already given and what you will give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. You may be seated. These churches so far, these are literal churches that we talked about already. And Ephesus is more like our church than any of the others. And what was the church? What was the knock on Ephesus? Where did they leave? Remember he said, thou hast left. They left their first love. And so Ephesus is more like our church than any church. Whenever you have a constant barrage of truth, and a constant barrage of truth, which you have here, you can get anesthetized or inundated with truth, amen? And truth can be just come like this. This is the way we do it. And you can be so structured with no love at all. And that's the way the church at Ephesus was. They knew to do right, and it was just like, okay, we're doing right. But they didn't have the emotion in it. They didn't have the heart in it. They didn't go back to the love that Jesus had given them. And so many times, if we're not careful, Christian, you know it's true. We can go there. We know what to do. We know how to come to church. We know how to read our Bible. We know how to pray. But the passion is gone. The fire is gone. The zeal is gone. The love for the Lord is not there. And we forget who we're doing it for. You know, I would dare say sometimes you think you're doing it for me. Oh, We come to church for pastor. Please don't come to church for me. Amen. But I do come. Amen. But don't come for me. I'm just a messenger. Come for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you come to encourage the brethren, of course. You come to encourage the saints. But the church at Ephesus, they forgot all about that. And they were very cold and very stoic in their approach. We never want to get to the point that this is the way we go to church. Amen. We want to come with a passion and a fire. And believe it or not, fundamental churches around the world are dying right now for that very reason. There's no passion. There's no love. There's no fire. They know what to do, and they do it, but there is no excitement in what they do. And that's one of the things that is going to mark this church at Thyatira. They're going to have that, and you'll see why in just a minute. The church at Smyrna, they were the one that had to go through the suffering, and they had to go through all the things that the synagogue of Satan had to offer them, and they had to go through that and still stand. And then the ones at Pergamos, they had the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans there, where they were compromising. And that's even worse. Amen. Then we come to Thyatira. And we talked a little bit about this last week. And we said that there was somebody who was known for Thyatira. And who was that one that was known for coming from Thyatira? Anybody remember last week? Lydia. So it's quite possible, because of the connotation of Jezebel, that Lydia or a female may have started this church or had a very strong influence in that church. Brother Hall was raised in the same type of church I was raised into. Who has the major influence in those churches, men or women? Women. The church that I grew up in, women were the ushers. Women were predominantly in the choir. The ones that were effeminate were choir musicians and directors. When I say effeminate, I mean like that. And so you had the ladies, they were the nurses. The men were just figureheads, but the ladies did the majority of the stuff in the churches. I don't know if you grew up in a church like that, but the church I grew up in, I saw very little male leadership. I didn't see it. I saw the women leading the church. And so it came no shock. Well, it came to a big shock when I came to Calvary Baptist Church where I got saved and Pastor Bennett was there and they had men doing things. And I thought, men are doing things? I thought they just kind of sat back and nodded their head and periodically woke up from their sleep and said amen and went right back to sleep, because that's what they did most of the time. Amen. Stop laughing, Jerry. Amen. That's pretty much what happened. Amen. Mrs. White, is that the way it was in your church? And some of those traditional churches, that's the way it was. And so we didn't see that. And so it is possible that this church at Thyatira was like that. Amen. And we talked about, was this lady's name really Jezebel? We don't know. It could be just the title that is linked with her reputation. Just like if you name your son Judas, what can we say about that son? Possibly he's a traitor. Probably. Amen. Now, I would hope nobody would name their son Judas, amen. But if you did, that goes with the character traits there, amen. And so we saw some things about this, amen. And we saw what the Lord detected about this church and what he emphasized about his person. We saw his eyes, and we talked about his eyes being like a flame of fire there, representing the judgment that was there, along with the brass on his feet, dealing with the judgment and the refining. So the eyes dealing with refinement and the feet dealing with the brass or the judgment there. But then we saw what he emphasized about his people, and that's where we're going to park at tonight, verse number 19. Notice what it says there. He says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now, let me let you know something here. The Greek word for the first word works in verse 19, I know thy works, and the last word for works and thy works are the same Greek word, and it means toil. And it means toil. Why would the last works be more than the first? How does it normally go? Let's picture a marriage situation. In a marriage situation, are the works from the husband or the wife normally more in the beginning or more at the end? They're more at the beginning. Why? You're trying to impress the one that you wooed. The wife is going to make all these luxurious dishes to impress the husband and to please his appetite. She's going to have the house all clean all the time, and she's going to do all to impress him. He's going to go out there, and he's going to make sure the lawn is all clean. He's going to say all these things about her food, and he's going to do all these things. And so all these things are happening. So those works are normally glorious and grand. After year seven, what happens? That's about it. If you get that. The food's on the table, what does he say? Better have had it on time. Food's on the table, what does the kid say? I don't like this. Go out there and make this nice meal and put the flowers in. Did anybody notice the colors? No. He goes out there and does all the grand things for her and reorganizes the shed out there so she can put all her stuff in the garage. And she goes out and says, it's too small. Amen. And the works in the beginning aren't like the works in the end. What happens? The fire burns out. Got to put some wood in the stove. Amen. Stoke that thing up. Amen. And so he says here, in this case, the works are more. Notice how it reads. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Working harder at the end. What do you think happened in this church? Interesting. We're going to look at that. By the way, same thing can happen in marriage. Same thing can happen in marriage. Let's look at this. I notice thy works. I know thy works. Now, again, this is the church of Thyatira. Don't forget, Jezebel is still there. She's still there. But the Christian there then has something said about them. Jesus says, you know what? My eyes are on you like a flame of fire. I'm trying you. I'm scrutinizing you. My feet are like fine brass. I'm judging you. But then he says, I know thy works. I know all about you. I know thy works. And that word works there means toil. Toil. When we first get saved, do we toil? Yeah, you can't stop them from working, man. I mean, you get them in there, and they get busy, and they want to do something. Toil. So the first word there, toil. He says, I know thy toil. I know your labor. I know what you do. But then notice what he says second of all. And charity. What does charity mean? Love. By the way, when we first get saved, do we know a whole lot about love? No. We don't know a whole lot. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave. We know that much. But we really don't know a lot about love. So are we working because we love God, or are we just working because we're excited? More of excitement than it is love, because we really don't know love. We learn love. We experience love. The more we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we learn love. And so you've got this individual. He says, I know thy works. I know your toil. You're excited. You're doing these things. He says, and your love. Now you grow in love. By the way, the more you learn about your spouse in love, the more you can what? Do for them. Love is what? Action. And so the more I love my Lord, the more I can do for my Lord. If I don't know my Lord, I'm just doing off of excitement, which is after a while going to do what? It's going to burn up. And then Jerry, it's going to go out pretty soon. You know, don't let Satan it out. And so if we don't learn, then that excitement, sooner or later, I'm busy. Then I wake up and I slow down. Why am I even doing this? Why go to church anyway? Why read my Bible? Why pray? Why am I doing this? Why am I cleaning up the house for him anyway? Why am I going out to work for her anyway? Why? We lose that love. But when you get that love, then you understand why you're working. And they understood why they were working. And he says, I know thy works. I know your toil and your charity or your love. Notice this, and service. By the way, that word service means ministry. So he says, I know your toil, know your work. I know your love. You're finding more out about me, and so you're doing what you're doing in your toil for your love for me and your ministry. Now it's not just work. It's ministry. I see this as a ministry. It's not just work. By the way, it's different between work and ministry. Amen. Man, if you get into the ministry and you see it as a job or a work, you're going to be very unsuccessful. It's got to be seen as a ministry. People say, well, where do you work at? I say, well, I minister at the church. Sometimes I fall into that trap and say, I work at the church. But it's not a work for me because I'm going to do it whether I get compensated for it or not. It's a ministry for me. I do it because I love my Lord and because he saved me. So it's a ministry to him. And that's the way it's got to be. He said, I know your charity. I know your ministry. What are some ministries here? List me some. Teachers, nursery, pastors, deacons, ushers, van drivers, my favorite, custodians, clean up, make the house look good. What else? Hymn book carriers, piano players, singers, cooks, ladies in the kitchen, snack preparers, hospitality, diaper changers. Amen. Got to have those. Singers. Amen. All these are ministries that can be done. By the way, there are more ministries that can be done than there are those to do them. Greeters. You know, my vision for this church way back, I wish everybody only had one ministry to do. Only one. Man, if that could only be the case, everybody, one ministry. But I believe that God will give us the person. They just have to surrender what they have to do it. But we often do, well, so-and-so is doing that. Well, they wouldn't have to do it if you did it. Amen. Especially if it's your gift. If that's your gift, then give your gift. And then so-and-so wouldn't have to do it. By the way, there are many people that do ministries that aren't gifted to do that. But they do it because it's got to be done. And the one that is gifted to do it doesn't give up their gift to do it. Amen. And there are certain people that have certain gifts, and you need to find out what your gift is and use it in the service. He said, I know your works. I know your toil. I know your charity, your love. You love me. And he said, and I know your service or your ministry, whatever it is you're doing. Now, notice the caveat he puts in here. He says, and what's the next word? Faith. Do we normally work because of faith in the beginning? No. Do we normally love by faith in the beginning? No, we normally don't, because faith is acting without seeing. By the way, I did a lot of things for my wife in the beginning off of first excitement. I worked for her, but then I began to learn more about her. I loved her. Amen. And then I learned more about her. I began to serve her. But then guess what? I began to go by faith. I'm going to do this without seeing the end result. And that's what he's talking about, without seeing the end result. I'm going to do this without seeing the end result. Hey, I'm going to do this, and she might like it, and she might not like it, but nonetheless, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to do this. Amen. And I'm going to trust God that it's going to be pleasing in her sight. And we do the same thing by God. We take his word, we trust him, and we step out by faith. So he says, and your faith, and then faith, what is faith? Belief or trust in God's word. And that's why we serve from that position of love, and that's why we work, because our faith then begins to trust God and take God at his word. But then he throws a curve. What's the next word? Patience. What goes along with patience? Tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Go over to Romans chapter 5. That's the one that we don't like. Amen. He says, I know your work. I know all this. And he comes up with that word. Romans chapter 5. That word. Not that word. Yes, that word. The hardship. Notice what he says down there in verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience and experience. And patience what? Experience. And experience what? Hope. And hope maketh what? Not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. So it goes right back to our love. So he says, I know your works, your toil. You're doing that out of excitement. But then you began to learn a little bit more about me. And now you're not just doing it because of your excitement. It's your charity, your love. And then it turns into a ministry, a service. Then it's by faith. You're stepping out at my word. But then the challenges of life came. Patience. By the way, the church of Thyatira here has to be subject to the teachings of Jezebel. You think that's good or bad? Bad. Really bad. Very bad. And so being subjected to this teaching here, these individuals still had their patience. What is the definition for patience? Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. And so life kicks in. And then by patience or cheerful or hopeful endurance, I step in and I continue on. By the way, what marriage does not see tribulation? Every marriage sees tribulation. But what do? We hunker down and we keep going and we keep doing our work or our toil. We keep trying to build in our charity or our love. We continue on in our service or our ministry to our loved one. We continue on by faith because we know God is the rewarder. And we continue on with our patience, knowing that it's not going to always be this bad. By the way, sometimes it might get worse before it gets better. But he says, I know thy patience. Now look at that tribulation. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 13. Let me show you something here. Matthew 13. How many of y'all remember the parable of the sower? Sower. What did I say? So it's the parable of the sower. Amen. Matthew 13. He sowed the different seeds on the different ground. In Matthew chapter 13. And did I get the right one? Let me see. Matthew 13, too. Is that him? Is that him? Okay. And where is the one that I'm looking for? The one where he says the guy gave up because tribulation came? Where is that one at? when he gives a description. Okay. Verse 21. There we go. Notice what he says in verse number 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. What is that like? That's that excitement that when we first get saved, we serve God with, and after a while, we try to build our love on it. But notice what happens. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for how long? A while, for when what? Tribulation or what? Persecution arises because of what? The word. What happens by and by? He is offended. He stumbles. He's ready to quit. He's ready to give up. Amen. He's saying, look, you had patience. You didn't give up. You didn't quit. You didn't stumble. Hey, yeah, you had the persecution. Yeah, you had the tribulation because of the word Thyatira. Yeah, you got Jezebel there, but you didn't give up. And the one who doesn't give up on it is the one he's talking about in Revelation. He says, through your patience, go back over there again. He says, I know thy works. He says, your excitement, you first got saved, and charity, you love, you learned about Jesus Christ, that made your works better, which turned into a service or ministry, and your faith, you began trusting God at his word, and thy patience, you had to go through the tough times. You had to go through those times when all the hardships kicked in and all the sicknesses kicked in and all those things that go against life kicked in, and you still served God. Thyatira, notice what he says. And thy works, your toil, and the last to be more than the first. He says, because of what you had to go through, your last works were more meaningful because you stood the test of time. You went through the trials. You went through the persecution. You went through the tribulation. You went through the hard parts. You did all that, and so the first part was just excitement, and you had to learn about love. You had to learn about service. You had to learn about faith. You had to learn about patience and tribulation and all those things, he said, but you know what? You still worked, and your last works are more than your first. Ain't that the way it is sometimes in marriage? You got to go through the fires of marriage. You got to go through the fires of life. Got to go through the children, all the things that they go through with their illnesses and sickness and setbacks. You got to go through the jobs and the life. You got to go through the family members. You got to go through all the trials. And you still have to maintain a relationship with each other. That's tough. But he says, you know what? You did it. Even through Thyatira, even though Jezebel was there, you did it. You did it. You withstood the hardships. Yeah, it was hard, but because of that, it made your last works more pleasing and better than the first. They were more refined. Why? The fires had to get them. I don't know about you, I don't like fire. To cook on, yes. To go through, no. I don't like, walking through that. Yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death? I don't want to walk through that. I want to get raptured up. But you know what? I'm glad that if I do go through it, Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm glad that he said, I would never leave thee nor forsake thee, because I don't want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't want to get thrown in the fiery furnace. Maybe you do. You say, yeah, throw me in there, boy. Woo, I like a good fire. No, no, no. I don't like a good fire unless I'm roasting marshmallows over it or a hot dog or a fireplace. But I understand sometimes I got to go through it. I understand sometimes it's going to be a necessity. So he told his church in Thyatira, he said, you know what? That's the worst that you're going to have to see is this Jezebel business. Notice what he says down there in verse 14. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as I have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. He said, that's the worst you're going to have to go through. The tribulation, the persecution, that's the worst you're going to have to go through. Hold fast till I come. You know, I'm glad God gives us that encouragement. He says, you know what, you may have to suffer a little bit on this life, but you know what, I'm only going to give you what you can bear. I'm only going to give you what you can take with my help and with my grace, amen. And I like what Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So no matter what happens, these guys in this church at Thyatira could stand even against Jezebel and what she had going on there. And oftentimes we look at this whole area here and we look at the things that are going on there. And we read that word fornication. We think of it being a physical thing. And oftentimes it's not a physical thing. What the Bible characterizes fornication is you taking your relationship with God and going and putting it with the world. And oftentimes that's what he talks about. Not always the physical. Now, sometimes it is the physical. Amen. But oftentimes it's the relationship that I should have with Almighty God. I replace it with the world. And he calls that adultery or fornication. You're playing footsies with the world or getting in a relationship with the world when it should be a relationship with me. And so we look at that relationship of Jezebel down there. And it may have been physical, but it also may have been worldly. And they're compromising and allowing some things in. Might have been physical as well, because the two normally go hand in hand. Amen. Once you get out of the will of God, that normally goes with that. Amen. But the Lord begins to talk about those things that he disliked about the church. We're not going to have time to go into that right now. That's down in verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. He disliked these things about this church, but he detected some things already. He said, I'm going to let you know about my person. Well, let me let you know about my people. I know your works. I know your charity. He said, I know your service. I know your faith. I know your patience. And I know your works. He said, the last one's more than the first, because you went through the hard times. And folks, we can go through the hard times with God. We can. And this church is a spitting image of what you and I can do amidst all the things going on out there right now. Now, I don't know how many of y'all voted for Kyrsten Sinema, but she is openly bisexual. Openly bisexual. Martha McSally is not. And she won over Martha McSally. That's just showing you what Arizona wants. It goes right in with the Jezebel business. That just goes to show you that the majority of the Arizona voters voted for an openly gay person. And she's the first senator ever nominated that was openly bisexual and gay to go forward and say that's how I am. And she got nominated and won. And won. Where are we at in America? Now, these are the role models going up before our young girls. Those are the role models. That it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be bisexual. It's okay. Those are role models. It is very sad. Arizona's the first one. We're the first one that had the chief of police being married to another man. The first one in the nation. And Tucson on top of that. The first one. The first chief of police to marry to another man to make office. Say your seat is here. Maybe. Amen. And these are the role models before our children. And they're going to say, it's okay to be gay. And the children say, yeah, it's okay to be gay. And there go morals out the window. Well, what's wrong with being gay? God said it's abomination. That's what's wrong with it. Hey, get ready. We're going to be the minority. We are going to be the minority. We're going to be the ones that have a problem with two men marrying and two women marrying. We're going to be the minority with that. Get ready. It's coming. Because you get people like our chief of police and Kyrsten Sinema who are going out here and other elected officials saying it's okay and President Obama saying it's okay and people saying it's okay to marry. And we're the minority now because we got a problem with that. Get ready. It's coming because the children are being indoctrinated from the ground up that it's okay. And so they're going to say, well, that's not right. That's an abomination. No, you're just living in a hole. You're living in a rock. Nobody believed that way. Well, God still does. God still does. It is. It is. So get ready. Sesame Street and the rest of them. I'm telling you, it's there. It's there. It's there. What am I saying? They were able to stand in Thyatira even though the doctrine of Jezebel was there being preached. And you and I are going to have to stand even though these doctrines are out there. Praise God, it's not in our church yet, but it's in churches already. It's already in churches. And you and I are going to be looked at as the oddballs sooner or later. Amen. But I like what he said down there. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. He said, you've grown. You've been able to stand. You've gone through the test of time. The tribulation has come. And you've been able to stand. Folks, we can stand in our marriages. We can stand in our families. We can stand in our church. We can stand in our workplaces. We can stand at our schools. We can stand. Now, are we going to be persecuted? Yes, we are. But we can stand. And the comeback that we have is verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, men, is that not this doctrine? To have not the depths of Satan? As they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He says, keep on standing. Keep on standing. Now, again, this church has the longest laundry list listed of all the churches so far that we've read. And it seems to be the worst. Our job is to stand. To stand. Let's continue to do what we're doing because of our love, our charity, our faith, our patience through the tribulation. And let our last works be that which matters the most. Because we know what we're doing. And we know who we're doing it for. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I pray that we would continue, Lord, to keep these truths before us. We understand that Satan is real. We don't know exactly where his seat is, but Lord, there are so many things going on here. It could possibly be he's got a deputy seat here. And I do pray you would help us as Christian folks to stand. Help us to stand in our families. Help us to stand as husbands and wives. Help us to stand with our children. Help us to stand in the schools. Lord, help us to stand in the communities. Help us to stand in the voting polls. Help us to stand in our church. Lord, help us to stand in our sporting events. Help us to stand wherever we go for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know these are evil times and evil days. And they will only get worse and worse. They have to so that the Antichrist can come and take over a duped nation, a duped world that's taken with the sin of Satan. Lord, help us not to be taken. We'll be the minority. We understand that, but we've always been the minority. And help us stand for that which is right. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Watch over us and dismiss us, Lord, into our business meeting now with your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.